You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Erin K. Courtney. I'm super lucky to get to talk to Erin today and lucky to share it with you because this gave me a chance to talk about some of my very, very favorite things. That made the challenge of this interview keeping the episode short. And honestly, I'm not going to promise that I did that. Anyway, it's time. Let's do this. Erin K. Courtney, welcome to Imperfect Adulting.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am.
All right, let's do it. I begin every interview by asking people where in the world they are located. So tell the audience where you are.
I am in Lexington, South Carolina, which is just outside of Columbia.
Oh, I know where Columbia is. Okay, Lexington, I did not recognize, but I know where Columbia, South Carolina is. So you are a Southerner like I am. I'm in Florida. So you were talking about how we're recording this at the beginning of January. You guys are getting some snow today. We're
just
having a cold snap.
Yes. And I mean, they are big fat flakes and they're sticking to the ground. And I know my kids are freaking out. My husband went to go pick them up from school. And so it's a snow day here is huge because we are not guaranteed to get that every year. In fact, my son, he's almost 10 and he just saw snow for the first time in his life 3 years ago when we had a big snow day and we went outside and we built snowmen and went sledding and, you know, just did like had a typical snow day and it was so much fun.
That is very cool. We have to travel for snow, but yeah. That is totally fine. All right. So before we get into the topic of the day, I want to give you a chance. You started this actually already. Give us a chance to tell us as much as you want about your family. So you've got a son, you're married. Tell us all the things.
So my husband and I have been married for almost 18 years and my son will be 10 next month. My daughter is 14. And so I was 30 whenever I had my daughter and almost 35 whenever I had my son. I just barely missed that. The geriatric
pregnancy, one of the worst medical terms that could ever be, could ever be coined. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. When I was in college, when I was graduating, I did some sort of goal setting vision boarding type thing that was, I don't even know. They asked us to make a list of the things that we wanted to do. Right. And one of them was that if I had kids, I wanted it to be before I was 30 and my daughter was born 2 days before my 30th birthday. So I nailed that. I nailed it. All right. So today we're going to talk about shifting from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. Does that sound like fun?
Yes.
Oh, if you're watching the videos, you see Erin like nodding her head. She's like, is that what I wrote on the form? That is what you wrote. So fixed mindset and growth mindset actually remind me of corporate vocabulary from the early 2000s. I worked in a dot-com finance startup and like we used the words growth mindset about 100 times a day. So the words are super familiar, but also I'm going to admit they make me kind of want to barf a little bit the way that overused buzzwords that you've used a lot can do, right? But let's talk about what those words mean to you before we dive into what we're talking about.
So growing up, I did not realize that I had a fixed mindset. And I read the book by Carol S. Dweck.
Yeah, Mindset.
Yes. And that's when I realized, I started reading through it. And it was like, I just started having all these flashbacks of my entire life. So many times when I had just given up because I was like, I don't have a natural talent. I don't have a natural ability. I'm not smart enough. I'm not, you know, enough. I'm not enough. And I'd given up so quickly, so easily, so many times in my life when I had the potential to go so much farther than what I ever did. And the only thing that ever held me back was my mind, my fixed mindset.
Yeah.
So when I realized that a couple of years ago, it was just like this lightning bolt hit me. I was like, I have been holding myself back.
Yeah.
Life has been holding me back. I've been holding myself back.
It's a great book. It is really definitely written. It's a business book. And one of the things that I love about that is that the coaching, transformational coaching, personal development world has taken that concept, adopted it and run with it in like the most amazing way. But if you read it, it works just like you're talking about. But know that she's going to be like, your profit goals and your revenue goals. All right. So when you pitched this with the growth mindset, it wasn't actually about a business. It is that you're talking about fitness and you as a person, running to be exact. Okay. So when I wrote these questions, I didn't realize that you had figured this out for me about me, but I am a runner. I've been running since I was about 10 years old. And so my challenge today is to not have this interview last 7.5 hours. I can talk about running and triathlon for hours and hours and hours.
Me too.
Yeah, that's the joke. Okay, that's the joke. It's like, hey, you know, how do you know somebody's run a marathon? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yes.
How do you know somebody's done an Ironman? Don't worry, they'll tell you. You know, the reason years and years ago, the reason I first started blogging was actually because it was a way for me to not annoy my husband talking to him about his training. And so I would sit down and write it out, and my brother would read it. And then one day a stranger read it. That's the actual story. And I was like, oh, wait,
who knew?
So let's back up. Before you started running as a hobby, as a passion, as a thing, what was your life like? Like what were you doing? What did it look like? What were your days like? What were your other hobbies?
So, I grew up playing softball, and so the only running that I did was between the bases. It was just, you know, very, very short sprints. Running any farther than that was pure torture because I hated it. I was not a fan. When I got into my early 20s, I started training in martial arts. So I went from one fast twitch muscle movement type of sport to another. And I picked up on it pretty quickly. I was just, it came naturally. I loved it. So I trained in martial arts for about 9 years, in my early 20s to early 30s. Then I had kids and things kind of changed, but I ended up changing my career in my 30s. I had worked in real estate, just doing administrative work. And I went and took a cake decorating class with my sister-in-law. My daughter was a baby. Baked a cake for the first time in my life. I didn't grow up learning how to cook or anything like that. And so it just exploded this passion. I never knew was there. Went to culinary school, changed careers, ended up working as a pastry chef in the food service industry. And so that was a big transition, but I've been obsessed with food my whole life. And so I had to make some dietary changes because of some health issues, ended up losing 50 pounds. And when I was almost 42, my husband's been a recreational runner on and off. He had run a few 5Ks here and there, but it was just something that was what he did for fitness. Whenever he exercised, he ran. And he's one of those freaks of nature where he could go like a year without running at all. And yeah, of course, I saw it as a freak of nature because I couldn't do this. But he would go a year without running at all and then just go bust out 3 miles. Like it was nothing. Like he never missed a beat. And I'm sitting there going, what are you? How do you do that? I'm sitting there, who does that? I can't do that. And so I'd started walking. I did like little short 30-minute workouts, like Beachbody and things like that.
Yeah.
And I went walking in my neighborhood and I did a little bit of yoga, just kind of like some exercise just to help with my overall health because it made me feel better. But running was just not something that was on my radar because I had it in my head. It's like, I'm not a runner. I wasn't able to run, you know, when I was younger. I'm not going to be able to do that now. Like that's just not a possibility for me. And I had a really rough experience the first time I attempted to do a 5K with my nephew because I had been walking in my, this is actually at the beginning of my book. And the experience was just, it was a lot of emotional turmoil because my inner voice just had me convinced that this was a mistake. I can't do this. I'm not built for this. And it was a train wreck. My first attempt at a 5K and I couldn't do it. And I was in my early 30s. So I was like, well, that's it for running. You know, that's not. So when my husband was like, hey, I'm going to do this 5K at the local zoo, at the Riverbank Zoo that they have. You want to come do it with me? I was like, well, I've been walking, you know, is it walk friendly? He's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, well, yeah, maybe I can try to jog it a little bit. So I started doing some jogging intervals for about 3 weeks before the race and then went to the race. And it was like something just took over me And it was such a struggle physically, but my mind powered me through. And I ended up jogging the entire 5K for the time. And I was almost 42 years old. And I'm sitting there going, what have I been doing? I thought I could never do this. And I can do this. Oh my gosh. So it was the snowball effect. I mean, it just kind of, I went nuts after that.
Well, it is, it can be slightly obsessive, right? It can be. So you picked running then because your husband invited you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very cool. That is very, very cool. And so you were walking and then you started with a 5K and you had a positive experience.
Yeah, it was partially positive, partially negative, just because my body was screaming at me.
Yeah.
What are you doing? But it was once I crossed the finish line, and that's what I kept asking myself during it, because I kept wanting to slow down. I kept wanting to stop running and start walking. It's like, well, don't you want to say you finished this? And like, I'm a very honest person, so I don't like not telling the truth. And, so it's, well, I could say that I ran a 5K, and I'm like, no, I don't, I want to walk away from this. I really did it. I really did that. So it was for myself more than anything else. It was like, I want to be able to say that I did this, that I jogged a 5K for the first time in my life in my 40s.
That is very cool. Now, for anybody listening, you are allowed to walk. You can like,
oh, I yeah, mean- of course.
I run long things, but like if I, you know, I will walk, like I will walk through crowded sections. I will walk, if I am like struggling to drink the water or whatever. I usually don't actually have 5K. I'm not usually stopping for water, but, so that is very cool. All right. So I love this story. And so you go from the 5K, you have a positive experience, you jog. And then what is the switch that happens that you're like, I'm going to do more of this? Like what did you, I guess, let me think about this. What was your motivation there? And what did you think was going to happen if you ran more?
So when I crossed the finish line and saw that I could actually do it, that was the switch that was just like, there are so many other things that you thought you could never do. What if? You don't know if you don't try. And that's what I've been telling myself consistently, is you don't know if you don't try. And one of my good childhood friends had called me after I had posted I was just so excited about being, you know, running this 5K for the first time. I posted on social media.
They give you a shirt. They give you a medal. Yep. They give you a banana.
Yep. And so when she called me, she said, hey, I'm doing an all women's triathlon in 3 months. It's a 250 meter pool swim, a 9 mile bike ride, and a 2 mile run or 2.5 mile run. She's like, you should come do it with me. And I just laughed at her. And I was like, that's crazy. I'm never going to do a triathlon. That's nuts.
I said the same thing. I said the same thing. So, but you did that right after running. Okay. So I had been running for a long time before I made the jump to triathlon. So I had been running for a long time. I had already done my first marathons. And I was 35. Is that right? I was 35 when I started doing triathlons. And I started doing triathlons because I live in Miami and it's hot in the summer.
Yes.
And so the idea was that I would swim during the summer because it would be more pleasant. And so that exploded out of control in my life. So that's my story, not yours. So she invites you to do the triathlon. Did you sign right up and say, yes, let's do it?
No, I told her she was crazy. And okay, there was no way that I could do anything like that. The epiphany that happened after that was about a month later. We went on our beach vacation. We always go to Polly's Island, South Carolina, just south of, because I actually grew up in Surfside Beach, right outside of Myrtle Beach. And so we went there for our vacation. We took our bikes And it's like a 15-year-old mountain bike that we bought from Target. I mean, it was just, and I loved riding bikes as a kid, just, and it was always so much fun and enjoyable and everything. And I just got an Apple Watch. So I started tracking like mileage, which I'd never done. And my husband and I went out for a ride and he's like, all right, my butt's starting to hurt. I'm going back. I was like, I'm not ready to go back. I'm going to keep riding. And so I kept riding and riding and riding and riding. And finally, when I started to get like, okay, I think I'm done. And I looked down at my watch and I had ridden 10 miles. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I just rode my bike 10 miles. And then it's like, well, you've run a 5K. You just rode your bike 10 miles and you know how to swim. That's a triathlon.
It is. Yeah.
And then I called her as soon as I got off my bike. I mean, I could barely walk. I was waddling like a duck. But I called her and I said, I'm going to do this triathlon with you in 2 months. I'm going to start training. And we had a pool. So, you know, I just did some, no formal training. I just kind of did some research and started doing what I thought I knew or thought of what I needed to do. And, so I'd read about brick workouts with doing doubles and just all kinds of, I always love to read. And when I find a rabbit hole, I've got OCD. So I go down rabbit holes like you wouldn't believe whenever I come across something that I'm interested in.
Triathlon is perfect for you.
Yeah.
Triathlon is there's 1,000 elements to obsess on. So like running is obsessible. You've got your shoes and your nutrition and your form and all in the recovery, and then triathlon, you just multiply that times 3. So there's always something to research and to learn about.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's very, very cool. Okay. So you flipped the switch and it was like, you said, what would happen if I like actually believed that it was possible? What kind of changes, so was there anything else going on that you were hoping was going to change as a part of this life? Was it just becoming a new fitness thing, or were you like motivated to change your body composition? Like what was the motivation behind it? What were you hoping would change in your life?
Well, like I said before, it was such a snowball effect of just starting that this has bled into every other aspect in my life. When it comes to raising my kids, when it comes to career, when it comes to just anything that's new and different, it's like, all right, well, just because you thought it was going to be one way, that doesn't seal the deal.
Okay.
Like you never know what you are capable of achieving just by making that effort and not giving up and just keep pushing forward. And it, 'cause like I said, I had given up on so many things in my life before I started running that this was just such a big light switch that it's just like, no, you can do so much more. You just have to stick with it and not give up.
So one of the funniest things, Mindset is a really famous book. Another famous book is the Grit by Angela Duckworth, right? And when I read Grit, I was like a convert. I went down into my kitchen and I was like, I just read this book and we've got these 4 kids and grit and grit and grit and grit and grit. And my husband's eyes got as big as saucers and he slammed his hand on the table and he's like, you do not need any more grit, because I had just like finished an insanely long race that I had no business finishing. Like I had come off the bike and should have quit. I told him after the bike, I was like, oh, I'm done. I'm going to look for the exit. And I couldn't find the exit. So I just ran the entire marathon, which is an insane statement. And he was like, no, you need to learn how to stop. You need to learn how to back off. This is not the book for you.
Well, and that's actually one of the books that I have that my husband was telling me about. He was like, you've got to read this book, Grit. You've got to read it. You got to read it.
And so, it is a good book. It is absolutely a good book, but it has like the you can take anything too far, right? You can take anything too far. And in my house, like my personality is that I will keep going until I have to stop. And so learning when to stop is an important thing for me. So, all right. Yes. So what, so your mindset changed and that impacted every part of your life is what you're changing. Yes. And you shifted from a person who was, these are my words, so change them for your own, who is accepting what was and what people had told you would be. And instead you began to challenge your concept of what was possible.
Right.
And what did that look like? So you started with a 5K, you immediately jumped in to a sprint triathlon. What kind of stuff have you done since then, running wise? I see, if there are people who are watching on the video, you can see her medals behind her. And if you're looking on my video back there, that's my very first Ironman medal that is still up on the wall.
Oh, wow.
I put it in a frame. Yep.
Well, the next race that I did after the 5K before the triathlon was, it was a July 4th. It was a 4 mile race.
Okay.
And that was the first time that I had COVID and
oh,
I didn't
gosh.
know
So this
it.
is recent. This is recent that you made this switch.
Yeah.
Okay.
2022 was when I made the switch. And so that was the first time I had COVID, because I woke up that morning and I was like, I feel a little off. And my son had a cold and I'm going, I'm not sure, you know, well, I still feel good enough to run. I'll go do it. So I ran the race and my heart rate was a little more elevated than it had been during just previous training sessions and all that stuff. And so at the end of the race, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, something's wrong. I need to leave now. Like, I got to get home. So I got home, took a shower, got something to eat, took a nap, and it was just, I spiked a fever and I just went completely downhill from there. And I took a COVID test that afternoon. I was like, I just ran a 4 mile race with COVID and I had no idea.
Yeah.
And of course it knocked me on my butt for a week. At least the fatigue was far more than I ever expected, but I still got outside because my doctor had said, make sure you get vitamin D, you know, if and when you get COVID, make sure you get outside and get vitamin D. So I started walking in my neighborhood, but I was walking at the speed of an 85-year-old woman.
Yeah. It knocks you on your butt.
It really did. And but then I started to get worried. I was like, well, I've got this triathlon in 6 weeks, you know, I've got to be prepared for it. And so anyway, it took me a full 2 weeks before I could start running and training again, but I still had, you know, 4 weeks to train. And when I crossed that finish line of that very first sprint triathlon, I could not believe what I had just done.
That's awesome.
And so since then I did another sprint triathlon. I did a sprint duathlon, 10Ks, half marathons. And most recently our new thing was my husband and I talked him into doing a gravel bike race.
Oh, nice.
And neither one of us had ever done that before. We took our mountain bikes. It was just a 13-mile race, but it was the most exhilarating race I had experienced, because at this point, I'm sitting there going, this is my first race. I don't care about the time. I'm brand new to this. It was so enjoyable that we both left. And my husband's like, all right, we need to get some gravel bike races. Or I'm sorry, gravel bikes, so we can start doing more of these races.
That's right. Gotta have one bike for every single environment. You know, you got a road bike, you got a tri bike, you got a gravel bike, cruiser.
Yes. I started out with a mountain bike, then I got a road bike, now I have a gravel bike. So I have three bikes. And you know, I was sitting there going, when I first got the mountain bike, it's like, oh yeah, this will be fine for everything. Well, I learned that lesson because I took a mountain bike to my first sprint triathlon.
I did mine on a hybrid with the I took the baby seat off the back, but the rack was there for the chair. I took it off and that's how I did my first sprint triathlon. And the next day I went into the bike store and bought a new bike.
Yep. It was that following week.
Yeah.
And I said, yep, this I've got to get something that's going to be faster.
Yeah, no, I went right in and I was like, I need a new bike. And I'm the opposite of you in terms of, I did absolutely no research. I picked it based on the color of the bike. My helmet needed to match the color and also my shoes.
I did the same thing though. I got a red bike. I had to get a red helmet. And so since my first bike was red, my other two bikes had to be red.
Oh, so I did switch it up. I did switch it up. That first bike was blue. And thankfully though, I knew the person who owned the bike store. So my first bike was not it's a big purchase. it's a big purchase, but that is actually how I made it, which I think is really funny. All right. So you and your husband supported you. He supported you. You guys were doing this together.
Right.
And that was a lot of sport. What other sport did you have? Did you have friends that encouraged you, or did people, like, what did people say when you were like, today, I know I've been baking cakes, But today I have become a runner. Would you like to hear about my half marathon? What did your friends say?
So most of them were, I kept hearing the joke, oh, you see me running, you better start running too, because a bear's chasing me. I kept hearing that over and over and over again. Finally, I turned around and I said, well, if that's the case, all I have to do is run faster than you.
That's right.
And then they're just like, oh, well, I didn't think about it like that.
I mean, it is like, listen, it is a thing. Like, so I've been running since I was a kid. So it's always a thing I did. But it is, you start in softball. It's like the base layer of training. Most sports use running as punishment and is also conditioning. Like, it's like you do this in order to be able to do something else, or you do this because, you know, you weren't listening during practice. We're going to make you run. Or you do right. this in gym class for the Presidential Fitness Award or whatever. And so I totally embrace the fact that some people think it's absolute torture. And I'm like, no, I run and I like it. You don't have to.
Right. And I mean, that's how my family has been, my parents and brothers. My mom's very positive and supportive, but she's just like, oh, okay. She doesn't understand. I mean, she walks and she does yoga, but she doesn't understand the running part. And then my dad, the excuses. So when he kept saying, oh, well, I was never a good runner when I was a kid, so that could never work out for me. And I would always say, I used to think the same thing. Like, yeah. I literally thought the same thing, and I have worked my butt off to get here. So if I can do it, I know that you could have had the potential to do it. And he hasn't really said it, because, you know, he's in his late 70s now. And
yeah.
So he's just kind of like, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not expecting you to do it. But then my two brothers, I have two older brothers, and the oldest brother, he ran a little bit in his 20s, but he never got serious about it, or, you know, just anything past just kind of doing it recreationally. And he actually told me 6 months into running, he said, I bet you won't be faster in 3 years than you are right now. And I just kind of looked at him and I was like, what?
Why? 3 years? Wow.
Because he didn't think I was going to stick to it.
That's not supportive at all. I need
no.
to give me his number. He and I need to have a conversation.
Oh, so I put this in my phone. I was like, all right, I'm putting the date down. And the date, the 3 year date, is this October. And I've already reminded him of it several times. I'm like, you know, I'm faster than I was 2.5 years ago, right? And his son is turning 16 this month. And he runs track, and he'll come. And my son also runs. He does 5Ks with us too. And so I'll bring my nephew to come run with my son. They'll run together in these 5Ks with us. And my nephew even said to my brother, he was like, why would you make a long-term bet with a girl? You know you're going to lose. And I just looked at my brother and I said, your 15-year-old knows better. He said, that's yeah, funny. Well, apparently I need to learn from him, because I don't know any better. He said, are you sure that bet wasn't $10? And I'm like, no, it was $100 that you will owe me if I can run a 5K less than 34 minutes in October of 2025.
I had a boss, and he would say to people who would challenge me, and he's like, listen, when will you learn not to challenge the person who runs 26 miles for fun? Like, this is not what you want to do. But all right, so what kind of goals? So you had mixed support, but you kept going. None of the people in my family have caught on to my love of running. And I really, really did try. But my daughter actually brought people back from school, and they were here over the holidays, and they were like, oh my gosh, your mom is one of those people who gets up and runs on the holidays. And she's like, yeah, she used to make us go, like, you know, it was like, yeah, let's get up and go do the turkey trot. And now everybody opts out. They're like, we'll meet you for breakfast. But I used to take them and go. What are your future aspirations and goals with running and triathlon, my friend?
So my big goal for this year is to run my first marathon.
Which one did you pick?
So I'm thinking something keeps pulling me to Kiawah Island.
Oh yeah. That's supposed to be a great race.
So I don't, because I look at races probably almost every day. I'll go to runninginthe USA.com and I look at all these different races at different, you know, locations and everything. I love destination races. My husband and I are actually doing the Defusky Island half marathon next weekend.
I don't know where that is. So Defusky Island, where is it? That's obviously in
so,
South Carolina.
Right. It's between Savannah, Georgia and Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Okay. Nice.
But it's an island that you can only get to by ferry. And the main mode of transportation on this island is golf carts. So it's like stepping back 100 years in time. Everything is just so simple.
And because it's an island, you know, it's going to be flat.
Right. Exactly. But I will say the mosquitoes during the summer are pretty, pretty brutal. But we did this race last year and we loved it so much that we said, all right, we're going back. We're going to do this again this year. And so I'm going to do some, I'd like to focus more on running because it's been my biggest weakness so far this year. And that is what I would like to focus on the most. I'm still going to do some cross training and I'm going to throw in some sprint triathlons this year and some gravel bike races. But my big goal for this year is to run the Kiawah Island Marathon in December.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'd like to be ready for it. And also making some dietary and nutritional changes to maximize my training and recovery and just all the things.
All the things. No, all the things. Oh my God. That's so exciting. Congratulations. That's a very exciting goal. I love it. You have my full support. I will be cheering for you all of the way. I was listening to you list all of the things. It's like very clear to probably anybody listening, even people who don't have the desire to take this on as a hobby. Like it goes from being like, oh, I'm just going to meet my friends for a 5K. For some people, it immediately goes to all the 5Ks all the time, all the 10Ks, a couple half marathons, looking at the marathon. And then it just sort of spirals and becomes a lifestyle and an identity and, you know, and all of the things. So I love that. I love that. So my next question was going to be, have you considered triathlon? But yes, you have. You're all in. You're totally up there and you're going. Triathlon is great for cross training for runners because it does force you to do the cross training. Otherwise, we runners are like, cross what? That's a day off. That's a rest day.
And that's exactly how I started out because it's just like, wait a second. No. I want to run. I want to run. And last year I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis in my hips and that's been causing some issues. And I know this one girl who stopped running because of her arthritis and I'm just sitting there going, no, I don't, there's gotta be something I can do. So I've been going down more rabbit holes with nutrition and making some tweaks and everything. And it's reducing the inflammation in my body, which has been helping tremendously. So, I hope that it continues to go down that path of being, I don't want to say age gracefully. I want to say age.
I don't even
fiercely.
Know what that means. I said this the other day, somewhere I was like, I don't even know what age gracefully means. So I'm 51 and my next round of goals is to do some marathons and I'm going to try and accelerate it because there is going to be a day where I'm going to wake up and be like, no, this doesn't feel good and I don't want to do it anymore. Right. So, but I like, yeah, I'm more of the rage against the dying of the light kind of thing.
Yes.
But yeah, and the wonderful thing about being alive in 2025 is that science has caught up and they're like, oh, you want to push the boundary? Just do all of these things. Here are 25 supplements that you can try. Here's a diet for you to try. Here's all these things and you can go for it. And some of them are fish oil, like in the not fish oil, what snake oil. Like, because fish oil is a thing we take, but snake oil, like some of them are scams, but others of them are like very, very helpful. And when I was a kid, they used to tell people like to not move as you age. I don't think they tell people that anymore. It's like move until you can't, which works better with my personality. So that's good. Okay. So this might be slightly weird segue, but you were already an author. You were baking cakes and you were an author before you took up running. And I think this will lead into how we'll wrap up the interview. What kind of books did you write before you started running? And then what have you written more recently?
I started out with cookbooks. And so since I didn't know how how to cook growing up and made that shift. Whenever I went to culinary school, I remember looking at these recipes that had a list of 20 to 25 ingredients. I'm sitting there going, you can simplify this. Like I can cut these ingredients by a third and make this so much easier. And since I was a busy mom at that time, that was my first two cookbooks were Party Time and What's for Dinner. And those were based on easy recipes for busy parents. But, you know, all of these recipes were, they're just so easy to put together. And my recipe library, because I kept simplifying everything again, yeah. OCD, went down rabbit holes and I just created this massive library. I had created those two cookbooks and then I moved on to making prepared meals for people. I had like a small business doing that. And I specialized in cheesecakes whenever I was working at one restaurant. That was like the main event at this restaurant. Right. And the dessert menu was New York style cheesecakes.
You're a good friend to have, by the way. Seriously, everybody should be paying attention. You want Erin as a friend. Wow.
But here's the thing. So in 2017, when I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease and three different digestive disorders, I was working in the restaurant industry as a pastry chef. I had to eliminate gluten from my diet. Yeah. And it cleared up my psoriasis. It alleviated so many digestive issues. And I'm sitting there going, you have got to be kidding me. Like everything that I've written before this was just regular food. Nothing was gluten-free. And so then I ended up writing a gluten-free cookbook that I published in 2023. And then of course, like almost everything that I make now comes from that book, but it's starting to get a little more tweaked. It's starting to get a little bit healthier. And I don't know if you want me around if you don't like to eat healthy, because I've started tricking people into eating healthier foods than what they thought they were. I've gotten really good at hiding vegetables in baked goods and they have no idea.
You know, I never did that. That's a whole thing, especially with kids. And I never did that, but I do tell the story all the time. Like I'm not like a ritualistic juicer, but I do juice and I use juicing and smoothies as a way to beef up like my fruits and veggies and stuff like that. So when my kids grew up drinking the smoothies that I made at home and the juices that I made at home, and one of my kids was in middle school and it was a science class and they were talking about vegetables. It was like a health unit. And the teacher was like, who's made green smoothies in class, but like veggie only green smoothies, not like I make with like mint and lemon juice and pineapple, right? So my green juices are sweet. They're not like just kale and celery. And so he was like, who is brave enough to try this? And my kid was like, oh, for sure. No problem. We have those at home all the time. Anyway, I get a note from the teacher that's like, your kid is adorable. And I was like, what happened? And they tell me the story. And then they say, and I was like, so what did she do? And they said, she was like, well, my mom makes better green smoothies than you do.
Oh my gosh. Well, my oldest brother, or both my brothers, are pretty picky and they don't eat very healthy. And my oldest brother will not eat any vegetables at all. And so I made some mashed potatoes and I brought them over. I was like, hey, I made a batch of mashed potatoes. You want to try them out? He was like, yeah, I love mashed potatoes. So I took them over, dropped them off. And then I got a text message from him. He said, those are the best mashed potatoes I've ever had. And I was like, you sure about that?
What was in it?
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower. Yeah, I was going to say cauliflower, parsnips. You know, those are the things that go in there.
But I didn't, that was the funniest part, was that he said, those are the best mashed potatoes I've ever had. And I was like, they were half cauliflower. I mean, they were still potatoes, but half of the ingredients were pureed cauliflower and they were dairy free. And so he said,
oh, dairy free. That's a good trick. Cause my mashed potatoes are like two thirds butter and milk and the rest is potato and salt. But the, we went through a phase where they were like, so I have this thing where I'm like, I don't like vegetables to pretend like there's something else. Like, and cauliflower is fantastic. Just let it be cauliflower, right? Like, it's not a potato. Like, just let it be cauliflower. Like, it's like, I'm like, this is cauliflower. Cauliflower is a delightful thing. Just let it be cauliflower. Don't try and call it. you know, mashed potatoes. But all right. So very good. So, and now you, so in a minute, we're going to wrap up with the final questions, but you, I want to give you a chance to tell people about what, about your latest book and how they can find you. And you have a special offer for the audience, which I'll share with them after you do that.
So my latest book is From Couch to Crazy, and it has been my journey from my fixed to growth mindset from running. And the running joke is that, literally running joke, is that running is my midlife crisis. And I incorporate so many stories of humor, and I'm just, my goal is to try to inspire people to step outside of their comfort zones and not be afraid to try something new. And just because you couldn't do it in your 20s or teens doesn't mean that you can't at least try now. And so that's my biggest goal, but it's called From Couch to Crazy, and it is on Amazon.
That is very cool. So I love the fact that you did this, because they say that, the most adults have a goal of writing a book and most people will not do it. So I love the fact that you've done it. I love that you've shared all of these transitions that you've done. The Couch to Crazy book is there with, is on Amazon with your other books. And you are so very generously putting a free Kindle special for the audience of this. And it will be, this episode will go live March 15th. So the 15th and 16th, and then also the 21st to the 23rd of March, it will be free. There will be a link in the show notes. And also in the email that goes out to the subscribers, everybody should subscribe to my email community because it's great. Now, and we didn't talk about this one thing, but I will say this. One of the things that's really interesting, because you were talking about making changes to your diet and to your nutrition and all kind of things like that. There's an amazing thing about the community that you surround yourself with. And when you, when you're in a room of people who are, and your social community is all people who are cooking cheesecakes and pastries and in a restaurant, that is going to have some overlap with runners because runners are everywhere. But then when you shift to like the fitness community, running, gym, CrossFit, insert whatever you like, adventure racing, kayaking, whatever it is, you then shift to people who are pushing their boundaries in that area. And it's like a whole new world where you can walk in and be like, hey, who wants to get up at 6 o'clock and run 10 miles with me? And everybody
right.
doesn't laugh. So yeah. All right. So now, I am going to ask you three questions. These are rapid fire. So they're just for fun. The idea is that you try and answer in just a couple words. No one ever does it. I'm the person who never does it, but all right. Very good. All right. How do you feel about naps? Do you love them? Do you hate them, or something in between?
I'd say something in between, just because anytime I try to take a nap, it never lasts 20 minutes. It's more like an hour, and then I feel groggy. Yeah.
So I
love, if I were able to take power naps, I would take them every day.
How old are your kids? Remind me.
Almost 10 and 14.
Okay. I had a gap in the nap life of me when my kids were of the age where they were up all day long. So on and so forth. Now I'm very close to being an empty nester. I can go back to taking the post long run nap. It's like the greatest change in my life. Big fan, big, big fan. Okay. Thinking back to you as a teenager in high school, what type of music did you listen to then?
Oh gosh. I would say almost everything except for country, which is funny because
you're in the
girl.
South. That's
yeah,
right. You're in the
most,
South.
Mostly 90s hip hop and pop and rock. Yeah. Those are
very
those
cool.
Are my jams.
All right. Very, very cool. All right. If you won the lottery this week and the payout was nine figures, hundreds of millions of dollars, what's the first thing you would buy?
A beach house.
There was no pause there.
No
pause.
We
thought. You've got a plan. You may even have it picked out. I love it. I love it. All right. That's it, Erin K. Courtney. Thank you for being such a great guest today.
Well, thank you for having me, Amy.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village.
If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.